This is the story of the one. As a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility, he knows keeping the line up and running is a top priority. That's why he chooses Grainger. Because when a drive belt gets damaged, Grainger makes it easy to find the exact specs for the replacement product he needs. And next day delivery helps ensure he'll have everything in place and running like clockwork. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It's gonna be okay.
No, how can you say that?
Hello, everybody. This is Again With This, Beverly Hills 90210. Today's episode is Season 7, Episode 29, Mother's Day. And now here are your two favorite mothers, Tara Ariano and Sarah D. Bunting.
Shut your mouth.
Say that Sarah is one bad mother. All right.
Shut your mouth.
Let's start with our C-plot. Claire's sad about her dead mom again. So Steve is trying out some stress relief cream on his temples when Brandon comes down. It's part of Steve's elaborate basket for Samantha, which he has...
Hold on.
What?
Bury the lead.
What?
Stress relief cream?
Yes.
What is that?
I'm about to explain.
Okay, good. Phew.
He's putting together a basket of, like, creams and stuff for his mother for Mother's Day.
Yeah.
Well, that's what he says it is. I don't know. Probably got
lavender
in it.
Okay, but, like, that's not something that exists.
Look.
It's like aromatherapy lotion.
Beauty products make all
lotion.
Kinds of claims.
Okay.
Yeah. Also, more to the point, Steve and Brandon in his ridiculous, like, three-quarter sleeve sci-fi turtleneck, mock turtleneck, are just, like, dipping into the basket to try stuff while having this conversation. It's a gift. Quit touching shit.
Yeah, quit opening it. Also, I doubt very much that Steve wouldn't just go to the body shop or wherever. Or L'Occitane.
Yeah, I'll eat my words. I just looked up stress relief cream and there's like 10,000 things, mostly from Bath and Body Works. So, you know,
Yeah,
obviously developed by doctors.
Yeah. If you look up stress relief essential oils, you'll probably find a trillion of them and they are all completely fraudulent. Don't at me.
I was going to say smells don't heal.
Yeah. Anyway, Steve, my point is Steve would just buy a basket that was already put together. He wouldn't do this himself, like individually pick out the stuff
and put it together.
Or gift certificate.
Yes, exactly. Anyway, he is convinced that Samantha won't like it because she never likes his gifts. A comparative mom discussion finds Steve stating that Brandon has high self-esteem because Cindy was uncritical, unlike Samantha. One of many explanations for why Brandon is the way he is, potentially.
Uh-huh.
And segues to Claire also thinking that Steve is garbage. I'm paraphrasing. Because everything he does is wrong to her. Ever since Samantha dumped the Chancellor, Claire's had it in for Steve. And Brandon is a great friend, not in clip two.
She blames my mom. I'm forced to defend her. It's getting ugly.
Well, maybe it's time for the two of you to break up. What's a big attraction, anyway?
What? This came out of nowhere.
Wow.
You should just dump her because you're not getting along. What?
What's the big attraction? He loves her.
Yeah. Also, this relationship is like years old. Like, really? This is the first time you're asking what they're into about each other? Like, fuck off.
Yeah. Also, get his mom's eye mask off your disgusting greasy forehead while you're questioning his like 5-year relationship and then kill yourself.
Yes. So anyway, Steve says the makeup sex and Brandon makes a dumb face, which you can see in the visual aids and pieces out of the conversation. It was kind of funny considering how gross he is in this scene. So I'll
give him a
net zero. Later, Claire comes over to the Walsh house and declines Brandon's suggestion that she go up and talk to Steve where he is in the shower, instead asking Brandon to go get him for her. Okay. But Brandon does, and Steve intuits that he's going to have a bad day. And sure enough, when he comes downstairs, Claire is moping on the couch, asking if he knows what the next day is. He says Sunday, but she means it's Mother's Day. It's the worst day of the year for Claire since her mom died. She keeps thinking it'll get easier and time will heal, but it doesn't. So he suggests driving up the coast the next day to take her mind off the occasion, which is apparently the worst thing he could say, as we hear in clip 3.
A drive. I'm talking to you about death. I'm talking to you about death here, and you think taking a drive is going to get rid of that?
You know, I'm trying here, Claire. I'm really trying. It's kind of frustrating for me. Whatever I say or whatever I do, it's not good enough.
I can't believe you're making this about you. Why are you being so selfish?
You're the one who's making this about me. I'm trying to love you here, but all you do is criticize me. Honey, I'm sorry you're in pain, but if you didn't want my help, why did you come here?
I don't know.
Listen to us. All we do is fight. Times are good, times are bad, it's not good. We gotta work through this.
It's funny. I come here to tell you that I'm coming up on the worst day of the year, and you decide that it's time to deal with the cracks in our relationship. You know what? You deal with it, okay? I don't have the heart for it today.
Claire.
Happy Mother's Day.
No. I'm not giving you the last word. Not today. You might be the smartest girl I know, Claire, but right now you don't sound too bright. If we're gonna make it through this, you need to lean on me. Lean. Don't push.
Sorry. You're right. Maybe a drive up the coast would be a nice way to spend Sunday.
Maybe. But let's not wait till Sunday. Let's get some fresh air. Get a fresh start. Okay?
Okay.
He's such a better boyfriend than he ever used to be. Like, about 2 minutes into that, I'd be like, all right, go home. You are being ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, and really, like, it is a semi-annual thing where he screws something up ostensibly related to her feelings about her mom. Like, not that this is something that one gets over and there's no such thing as closure or closure cream or whatever. I get it, but
right. Yeah.
As a plot device on the show, it is beyond tired. Like, I guess they couldn't figure out any other way to break them up, since none of the like legit stupid shit he did was bad enough for her to stick the landing. But yeah. I don't know, just yeah. Get on with it is my point, but that's not happening. So
yes,
let's forge ahead.
Yeah. The idea that she went over there to like be performatively sad. And then he was like, what can I do to help? And she like bit his head off. Like, we'll just stay home then anyway, whatever.
And put a bra
in the car.
I don't know.
Seriously, Claire is glad they did this. Since they now agree that Steve is not an idiot, he has a suggestion. She should spend Mother's Day with her dad. She says she can't because he won't talk about her mother and she's tried. And Steve then overplays his hand in clip four.
You've got to keep trying. It'll be good for him too. He's still not over your mom at all.
Why does he have to be?
Because he needs to get on with his life.
Is that what your mom told you?
Yeah, she gave me an earful about it.
She's a narcissistic snob.
I'm not doing this. No, not this time. Listen to you. This is exactly what I'm talking about, Claire. You know what? I can't change you, but I could change me. I am not fighting with you anymore. That's it. If we're gonna stay together, we need to fix this and fast.
I know. I just don't know how.
Move to
Look
Paris,
at Mr.
someone.
Good boundaries over here. Ugh. Anyway, I admire Steve for trying, because again, she's being
yeah, I would have pulled over and been like, walk home then. Bye.
But good for him for finally learning to not engage her when she's being like this. So at the beach apartment on Mother's Day, Steve tells Claire he went to see her dad that morning, bringing him bagels. They had a 2-hour talk. Chancellor showed Steve some pictures and Steve thought Claire would like to see them. And he brings over this giant, ridiculous photo album that is so like padded and quilted and fringed and ribboned. It looks like a decorative toilet roll cover.
It really does.
I know. And it's white. Like, it would never be this white if it was old enough to have Claire's
it's
baby.
It's like someone
in it
stapled, you know, the ring pillow that they give to like the little kid.
Yes.
Ring bear. It's like someone stapled one of those to each side of a just like regular photo
of
album.
A binder.
It's
yeah.
It's not great.
It does. It's really ugly. Claire can't believe that the Chancellor looked at the album since, according to her, he hasn't since her mother died. But Steve says that's not true. The Chancellor looks at a photo of her mother every night, and he even talks to her. Claire didn't know. Chancellor also thought Claire didn't want to talk about her mom, and Steve thinks the Chancellor is actually over his late wife. Claire's the one who's not. And if she looks at pictures of her, it'll help Claire heal. And so he opens the album, and Claire immediately starts crying. But what we clearly see on the first page is, like, Kathleen Robertson and her real mom, and it's cute. Yeah. It's always cute when they do that.
It is.
And I hope her mother is alive, because otherwise that's mean.
Anyway. Yeah.
On to our B plot. Val, David, and Donna re-triangulate, yes, again. At the Peach Pit, Val and Parker Lewis are wrapping up a meeting. Val's bottom line isn't as healthy as it could be, he says. She's tying up her cash, whereas she could be investing it. She's only got $10,000 liquid, and Bill won't talk to her unless she's sitting on at least $100,000. Val claims the club is worth more than that. I doubt it, but it doesn't matter if it's not liquid. So she wants to invest with Bill, but she's not sure she wants to sell the club or even who would buy it. No one. Parker Lewis suggests that she sell her share to David, but she doesn't know why he would buy it. And she has to make him want to, Parker Lewis says. There's always a way. And then he says he'll see her for dinner that night. Parker Lewis can't be concise. Sorry.
Parker Lewis also can't find a jacket that fits. It's a return to two buildings fucking, except they're both in Parker Lewis's jacket.
Mm-hmm. Ugh.
Look for a Parker Lewis cream available at your local Kiehl's.
It's oily.
It'll enhance your dimples. At the club, David is telling Val about the extra security he arranged for tonight's big act, not stated. I looked this up because they keep talking about what a big deal this is, that everyone has to go, including Jackie, which we will get to. But we never find out who it is, other than he talked about Monica in the previous episode. She does not appear in the version that we watched. And when I looked it up on that music site, it says there's a Monica song in this, but not necessarily that she was in it herself. So I don't know.
Oh, Monica, you are smart.
Anyway, Val is full of compliments for David's work. David can tell she's gearing up to ask him something, which she denies, saying it's just that he's doing such a good job, he hardly needs her anymore. And she is glad he is her partner. Shady. Donna then meets David at the Peach Pit for lunch and a public conversation about her unsullied lady business in clip 5.
I just needed to see you.
Oh, what'd I do?
Nothing. I just needed to see you and to kiss you. Tell you in person how grateful I am you've had the patience to wait for me.
To wait for what?
You know.
Donna, I'm not waiting for you. I'm waiting with you. There's a big difference.
You really get it, don't you?
Nope.
No.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I finally do.
Your burgers are getting cold.
That.
Stop clock, right twice a day. They're still making out in front of their rapidly cooling burgers when Professor Langley strolls in to shade Donna for not studying hard enough on a Saturday. She reminds Donna that the final's in a week and Donna's grade hangs in the balance, so maybe she should reconsider her priorities. No meals for students, I guess. Like, you're here to eat too, bitch, whatever. But anyway. A panicked Donna grabs her burger in her bare hand and takes off. So from her perch on the stairs by her office, Val predatorily watches David walk the club floor and saunters down to make her move in clip 6.
David, what went wrong with us?
David.
I don't think this is exactly the right time to explore our past. I mean, we have a big night to get ready for.
You know, my mom used to say that the past is history and the future is a mystery and the present is a gift. Gift. Take it.
Val, don't.
What, don't you ever think about me? About us?
What's on your mind?
Really?
I think you know. David, I think about you all the time. Can't help it.
Come on. Stop it.
Fine. I just thought you might want to feel a woman's skin again. Ugh. It's not like you're feeling much of Donna. Or is she putting out a little more these days?
I'll see you tonight.
Ooh. I mean, all right, we're in agreement that she has no interest in actually doing the do with David, right?
Oh, no, okay. No. No, this is all a gambit. Also, he's allowed to touch Donna's skin, just not all of it.
Yeah.
Anyway, when he's gone, Val calls Parker Lewis and says she thinks David might want to buy her out after all. Oh, Jesus. So then the next scene, when we come back to the storyline, Donna's coming in her club dress, and it seriously looks like an iridescent piece of fruit stripe gum. You can see it in the visual aids. Also, why isn't she studying? Professor Langley was very clear. Parker Lewis also shows up at the club after bribing a bouncer to get in and asks where Kelly is, since he keeps telling Bill Taylor he's going to meet her. Val lies that she hasn't seen Kelly and describes her inaccurately because in the past you could get away with that. And as Kelly is walking Jackie out, we'll get to them. She says hi to Val and Val replies, hi, Shelley. It's really stupid. So then David brings Donna outside to tell her how Val came on to him, and Donna is livid and David is an idiot in clip 7.
I thought you should know. I mean, this is very uncomfortable for me. I didn't know what to do, and I thought maybe you could help me. But you know what? I'm sorry for asking. Never mind.
No, I'm sorry. Look, I can't tell you not to sleep with someone else when I won't give you the option of sleeping with me.
I don't want to sleep with anybody but you. This isn't about sex. This is about Valerie. You know how she works as well as anybody. What do I do?
Can't work together anymore.
We don't just work together. I own this place. Half of it anyway.
Then sell. There's other clubs.
It's not that easy.
I knew this wasn't over. You know, I tried not to worry about it. But deep down, I knew that Valerie wouldn't give up. It just kills her to see you with somebody else. David, she's gonna try again. And what if next time you're not that strong? This is very simple. Our entire relationship is on the line here. And if you don't get that, then I just can't explain it to you.
Okay, leaving aside the fact that Val clearly is scheming to have exactly this happen, like, whatever, Karen Pence, next time he's not strong enough to resist her, then you should break up anyway. Like, why are you putting all this on Val's wiles if the issue is you don't trust David to be faithful?
Yeah, also, like, businesses are not, you don't just put out a card table with, like, some old comics and your business on it and sell it in a day. I understand that this is a nighttime soap, but Jesus Christ, like, then sell. There's other clubs. Like anyone's going to sell another club to this Stunad. Mm-hmm. Please.
Right.
All of you shut up.
He already wasted all his money gambling in Los Angeles or gambling in Las Vegas and all the other bullshit that he bought at the mall when he was having a manic spending spree. Like, anyway, whatever. Then it's the next day. David is storming into the Walsh house. He's looking for Val and races up to her room to tell her that she has to respect his relationship. And she's like, what relationship? How long are you going to live like a monk? And David announces that he's selling her his stake in the club because he can't work with her anymore. And she suggests that what he gets out of the club is sublimated sex, but he'll find it somewhere else. And he's almost out the door when she offers to sell the club to him, claiming it's way too hard for her to be around him every day. And he agrees because he's dumb. And then David shows up for ladies brunch looking for Donna and pulls her outside to say he was up all night and came to a decision. He told Val he's buying her out, which is a slight distortion of what actually occurred just now, but whatever, Donna's thrilled. He doesn't know where he's going to get the money yet, so maybe the celebration is a bit premature. And at the table, Jackie looks up and nudges Felice to look at David and Donna, fully making out like they're drawing the alphabet on each other's larynxes. And Felice just says, he really does love my daughter, and it's disgusting. Like, they are kissing so hard for being in public.
And everyone is dressed up for nice, prim, pink Mother's Day brunch, and he's wearing his usual fucking hobo blanketry. Correct size, dickhead.
Yeah, also just call her on her car phone. You know she has one. Anyway, at the bar, Val is also having a premature champagne celebration with Parker Lewis, as she claims with no evidence that she should have the money very soon. Now Bill can't wait to meet Val as soon as he gets back from Manila, and the more Parker Lewis tells Val she's going to make a lot of money and feel taken care of, the more we know she's going to get fucked, and not the good way.
And also that was like take 14 because the champagne was completely flat. Completely.
Oh yeah. That's true. On to our A plot. Kelly might be knocked up. So Kelly comes into the kitchen to Donna's question, did you get it? And Kelly says no. And since she's in fully white pajamas, I'm relieved for her sake, because that's not what you wear when you're waiting for your period. Oh,
also,
my God.
Also, if you're going to use the refrigerator door to hide your real life pregnancy, get behind it before you turn to the side.
Uh-huh. Allegedly, Kelly is 6.5 days late and not 6.5 months late. Donna shrugs that it's not that big a deal and that she's been that late herself, to which Kelly must remind her that a pregnancy scare is not part of Donna's experience. Hello. Donna tries to get Kelly to quit worrying, but Kelly bites her head off, saying Donna sounds like she's advising Kelly to act like this isn't happening. Donna also thinks it's practically impossible to get pregnant if you use a condom, so Kelly is forced to admit that they didn't use a condom. Also, it's possible. Donna gets to remind Kelly about Jimmy, who died of AIDS. And can you even believe that happened this season?
Because
I can't, but it did.
Oh my God.
Mark was this season too. Remember Mark?
Oh, yeah, sure. Mark.
God. Anyway, Kelly says she and Brandon have both been tested and that they only raw dogged it once. I'm paraphrasing. At a time of the month that Kelly thought it would be safe. Well.
Jesus. Nope, I'm just going to barf myself inside out. You don't need me. Carry on. We're good.
Have you been raw dogged? There's a cream for that now. Soothes and heals.
I am dead. Avenge me.
So now Donna is so embroiled in Kelly's drama that David has to find her at the good old student union and tell her she didn't show up to the peach pit after dark for an agreed upon meeting. Donna, clip 8.
Oh, God, I totally forgot.
I called for this clip because this is verbatim something that someone has said in each of the last 3 episodes after receiving exposition about whatever MacGuffin is going to put various people in the same contrived place, even though they should never know each other and most of them hate each other and never go to school. So there's no reason for them to be in the same place. It's literally like, oh my God, I totally forgot. Every time. Brandon said it last time.
Yeah.
I forget who said it 2 episodes ago. See also the 4 goodbye hugs between Kelly and Jackie later in the episode. Like,
oh yeah.
All of them extremely awkward because Gillespie is trying to maneuver in over Garth's belly and it's like they shoot it in close up. The angle is super weird. Like, guys, you have no story left. Just end. Just Poochie scroll the shit off the screen. Put up a title card. We're done. You're done.
Yeah. Well, we're not done with this, unfortunately. Kelly, for some reason, made Donna buy her a pregnancy test. And later, back at the apartment, Kelly calls Brandon and asks him to come over, even though she has not taken the test yet. And of course, it's from our good friends at Fortell. Donna wishes she could say she knows how Kelly feels, but how can she? And this segues to Donna's confession that she and David almost had sex in New Orleans. And Kelly has no follow-up questions like, why didn't you? And instead, because she's so self-involved, just says Donna's lucky because she'll get married. And when she gets pregnant, it'll be because she wants to. Donna says she sometimes feels like the oldest virgin in the world. Kelly wishes she had a code to live by, which is hilarious. Kelly's just like, well, I have no principles or whatever. Yeah. Fine. But Donna just thinks she took the easy way out that doesn't require her to make any decisions. That Donna took the easy way out, not Kelly. Kelly very glibly asks Donna to pray for her, which is really disrespectful and shitty, but you know, it's Kelly.
Which Donna basically tells her that she's like, God doesn't take requests, batch. you could ask him to forgive
you. So then Brandon tears into the
bitch. Narrator, he won't.
Brandon tears into the apartment in time for Kelly to come out of the bathroom looking tearful and shell-shocked. Donna thinks she knows what's up and asks what she can do, but Kelly just tells her to go to the club. She'll be fine. And after some hemming and hawing around, Kelly tells Brandon that she's pregnant. He's like, but you're all right. And she's like, yes, other than that, I'm pregnant. And he says they'll go to a doctor and everything's going to be okay. She's not sure, but he says they love each other and there's nothing they can do until they know what's up anyway. And I realize now's not the time, but you know that whole thing in the last episode where it ended on Kelly's ultimatum that Brandon had to make Val move out, because it never comes up in this episode at all.
True.
Like, not even in passing. So later, Brandon and Kelly take a golden hour beach walk of complete idiocy in clip 9.
Are you scared?
Sure I am. Jesse and Andrea made it, so could we?
Yeah. But do you want to?
I don't know.
Think about it, Brandon. This is the time in our lives when we're supposed to be having fun.
Yeah, it is. But maybe it's time to put something or somebody ahead of that. Your mother did.
With Aaron, you mean?
Yeah.
Well, she had an abortion once too, Brandon. She said it was hard, but it was the right choice for her.
And what if we don't make that choice?
I just don't think it's the right time.
Is there ever a right time? We could survive a baby, Kelly. People do it all the time.
What if I decided to end this pregnancy? Can we survive that?
I'm sorry, I was laughing during that whole thing, but there's that one seagull that sounds like a sheep. it's like Jesse and Andrea made it. Like, wow. Is there a sheep on the beach?
Also, they did a lot of stuff that you guys don't know about. Like, she had an affair and he said he would leave her if she had an abortion. Like, did they make it really? What do you think about it?
Debatable. Yeah. And I'm pretty sure that the next time we see Kelly, Andrea, Jesse is donezo. So, spoiler.
Oh, yeah. Right. I forgot that. And it's also nice to Jackie for Kelly to just put her shit on blast like that. Like, whatever. Anyway, they end up at the Peach Pit After Dark that night with everyone else, including Jackie, who notices that Kelly looks pale. And then we rejoin them in the can just after Kelly's apparently told Jackie everything, ending on, what am I going to do? And Jackie is very kind and empathetic and says she can't answer that for Kelly. No one can. And her excellent mom performance comes to a rapid end with Jackie saying she can't believe Kelly, of all people, let this happen. Kelly calls her on that, rightly, pointing out that Jackie made the same mistake twice, or was Kelly an accident too? Forget it, she'll just figure this out on her own. And after a commercial, Jackie goes after Kelly, ordering her not to make Jackie the bad guy when Kelly needs her the most. Whatever Kelly decides, Jackie will support her. And also, clip 10.
You weren't a mistake. Not when you were conceived, not ever.
Debatable.
Jackie excuses herself and Kelly apologizes for being a bitch before, so that was a pointless cliffhanger. And when Kelly gets back to the table, she's testy with Brandon, though at least he agrees with her that whatever is to be done with pregnancy is her decision, which is very uncharacteristic of him, but maybe he learned from that story that Susan won an award for last season. She's going to spend the night at her place alone, but then she ends up at Brandon's after all because she felt lonely and needed him to hold her. Whatever she decides, he'll be there to love and support her. Everyone keeps telling her that, she says, but she doesn't want to make the decision alone. Brandon says it's her decision to make. It's her body, but it's their baby. She needs to know how he really feels, so he tells her in clip 11.
At 22... I don't know if I'm ready to be a father. But at 42, I don't want to look back and realize that we made the biggest mistake of our lives.
Neither do I. But we're so young, you know. We can have a house full of children someday.
Yeah. But one will always be missing.
This would be so much easier if I didn't love you.
You're gonna do it, aren't you?
I don't know how I'm gonna live with myself. But I can't have a baby right now.
No.
Don't worry, you've got at least 2 months left. We'll get the crib built. It's going to be fine. The thatch is on top of it. I mean,
yeah.
I'm sorry to be glib about this. Like, whatever. We don't have to be pinkos about this decision. It's obviously a serious one, but yeah. This show.
Also, like, they're on their second go round and they've been dating again for like, I mean, I guess it's been at least a month or whatever, 6 weeks, but still, like, there are a lot of reasons why you would not want to necessarily have this baby other than that.
Well,
you're 22.
And also, like, it is their second go round and they were together for a while. Like, it's kind of couple protocol that, like, after a month, you're kind of on the same page about what's going to happen in this eventuality, whether it's a happy one or not, or somewhere in the middle.
Right.
At least right. When you're in your 20s, like, there is, like, whatever, emergency broadcast system instructions, like, posted over the bed by the time you've been together for, like, a month. It's like, what are mm-hmm. we going to do if this happens? Because you are... Right. It's on your mind. So,
yeah,
I don't know. But of course, they have 78 episodes to fill this season. And there has to be a lot of Jenny Garth lying down and snuggling and looking wan because actually pregnant. So,
yeah, it's also mean of them to write this in when she was pregnant for real. You know what I mean? Like, that's rough. At least they didn't make her have a miscarriage, which would be worse, I guess. But this, you know, you could have just not had this storyline at all if it was only going to last one episode. And
well,
this was the
end of it. I don't know. I mean, like, they did this to Andrea too, didn't they? Basically, didn't they do this to Carteris?
Yeah. Yes, but in that case, right? I guess at this point, like, it was close enough to the end of the season that they didn't have to write in a real pregnancy necessarily, because like, she was going to be done before it was really, really right. showing, which was not the case with
Carteris. But that's still, like, she still had to go to the NICU and sob over this teeny tiny baby when she either was still pregnant or had just had her own baby. Like, it's, I don't know. It's,
oh,
the
I
timing
see what you're saying.
Of that
yeah,
was
yeah.
not great.
Yes. Right. Yes. Agreed. Speaking of not great, this episode, let's wrap it up with our MVP. Jackie, other than the one shitty thing she says to Kelly, she's a good mom. I miss her.
The Nat Professor Langley tag team at the Peach Pit. I'm with it.
Your burgers
and
are getting cold.
You're still not allowed to eat them, yeah, hot or cold.
Least valuable player. David, for being so
the
dumb.
The Beeshore Condom Corporation.
Not getting, doesn't get product placed in this episode because they skipped it. I will not use the objectionable phrase again, but moving on. To our user submitted challenge. At Who Eats That Stuff on Twitter wants us to list 5 ways Nat and Joan are probably lousy parents. Well, Nat is not a good provider, probably.
That's true. Probably brings home all the cold burgers for the kid to eat to economize.
Joan probably has a hard time with, you know, playing and lifting the baby because she's 600
years old. I was going to say Joan is dead. That's hilarious, Sarah. Why am I laughing at that? I'm sorry. I'm tired.
And do we know that Nat necessarily knows anything about nutrition? These kids are probably eating a lot of megaburgers.
Probably, yeah. When is the last time any of them had fiber? The lettuce on the megaburger? It's probably it.
Yep.
Oh,
I think that's it.
Thank God. Next time on Again With This, Steve's dad doesn't approve of his post-college plans. Claire's dad wants her to move to Paris with him. And Kelly's dad has some bad news for Val about Parker Lewis. We've got some bad news for your eye holes. It's called our visual aids, and you can find them for this and every other episode of Again With This on our website at previously.tv. You can follow that website on Twitter at previouslytv and this very podcast at AWT90210. I'm Very Obvious Scam Sarah D. Bunting. I'm on Twitter at Tomato Nation. My co-host is Cold Burger Tar Ariano. She's on Twitter at Tar Ariano. And our producer is Pitiful Beachwalk David T. Cole. He's on Twitter at Clark. Talk to you next time.
Hi, you know what to do after the beeparoonie.
This has been a production of the Previously.tv Podcast Network.
Hey, wake up! New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.